Several days. 4 to 6 inches of rain will be possible along and south of a line from St. Louis to Indianapolis. Severe storms are possible tonight as a low pressure system moves in from the southern plains. The main threat will be hail and damaging winds across southern Missouri, southern Illinois, and southern Indiana. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high 62, the wind from the northeast at 10 miles per hour. Tonight, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Some storms may produce heavy rainfall. The temperature will hold nearly steady in the upper 50s. The wind out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. The high tomorrow, 65. The wind from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and cooler with another chance of showers. The low, 47. The wind from the west at 10 to 15. The outlook for Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 60. At noon central time, most locations across Illinois and Indiana reported cloudy skies. Many reported light rain. Temperatures ranged from the low 50s to the mid 60s. At O'Hare, 52 degrees. Bloomington, 53. At Mattoon, 65. Carbondale, 65. At South Bend, 54. 62 at Lafayette, 63 at Indianapolis, and 64 at Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky with fog at the top of the hour. The temperature, 59. The dew point, 57. The relative humidity, 93%. The barometric pressure, 29.83 and steady. And at 12:39, it's 59 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Federal health officials recommend at least 30 minutes of moderate exercise, like brisk walking, every day. But now researchers are beginning to suspect that even if you engage in regular exercise daily, it may not be enough to counter the effects of too much sitting. NPR's Patty Naiman reports.
Danielle Osby says the best birthday gift ever was her bicycle. Co-workers chipped in to surprise her about this time last year, a brilliant colored cruiser.
She's green, sassy, and good for you.
So after being mostly sedentary for years, Osby now bikes back and forth to work about 10 miles a day.
I'm not the one that kind of like monitors myself on the scale constantly, but I've dropped a nice amount of weight.
And at 41, Osby's blood pressure's good, her cholesterol's low, and she's successfully battling a family history of hypertension and diabetes. All good, but with one hitch. Like many of us, when Osby's not sleeping or biking, she's often working. And as she says, completely handcuffed to her desk.
There's a progress report due, or there's grants due, or some other deadline. The time kind of flies by while you're sitting at the computer, sitting.
Researchers are now beginning to suspect that even though Osby exercises every day, it may not be enough to counteract the hazards of all that sitting. Because when you add it all up, epidemiologist Stephen Blair says it's a lot more sitting than moving.
Let's say you do 30 minutes of walking 5 days a week. And let's say you sleep for 8 hours. Well, that still leaves 15 and a half hours. Well, an awful lot of us have sedentary jobs, and we sit there at our job or watching television or just spend most of the day sitting.
Blair works at the University of South Carolina and headed a study looking at adult men and their risk of dying from heart disease. He calculated how much time the men spent in their cars, at their desk, in front of the TV.
And those who were sitting more were substantially more likely to die.
Despite the fact that many of them routinely exercised, Blair says scientists are just beginning to learn about the risks of a mostly sedentary day.
If you're sitting quietly, your muscles are not contracting, except perhaps those you're using to type on your computer. But the big muscle groups, like in your legs and back and so forth, are sitting there pretty quietly.
And because the muscles aren't moving, metabolism slows down.
When we look at waist circumference, we look at triglycerides, we look at fasting blood glucose, we're finding that people who sit more have less desirable levels.
which increases the risk of diabetes, heart disease, and a number of health problems.
We just aren't really structured to be sitting for such long periods of time, and when we do that, our body kind of goes into shutdown.
Dr. Tony Yancey specializes in health promotion at UCLA's School of Public Health. For years, she's worked on developing programs to motivate people to get up and move, even while they're at their desks.
Sitting on a ball rather than a chair. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm doing right now. And, you know, it kind of helps you strengthen your core. It helps you with your balance and flexibility.
And try to take a 10-minute exercise break, like a brisk walk twice a day. Or, as Yancey says, just get up every so often and stretch.
We can put in a prompt in our computer to encourage us to stand up every hour and just move around a little bit.
It may not sound like much, but one Australian study found that these types of mini breaks, just 1 minute long throughout the day, actually made a difference. Just standing up and moving, like taking a step, marching in place every hour or so, actually lowered blood sugars, triglycerides, cholesterol, and even waist size.
If there's a fountain of youth, it probably is physical activity. So the problem is not whether it's a good idea. The problem is how to get people to do more of it.
Patty Namond, NPR News.
Some of the nation's richest and most important ecosystems lie where the ocean meets the land. These coastal areas are threatened by rising sea levels. But in one wildlife refuge in North Carolina, conservationists are attempting what would seem to be impossible, fighting back the sea. NPR's Richard Harris has more.
The Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge encompasses 154,000 acres of marshland and a rare type of lowland forest called Pocosin. It's just about the only place on Earth where the endangered red wolf still roams, and a lot of it is at or near sea level, which means it's in big trouble as the sea rises. But with the unbounded optimism of youth, a dozen or so college students arrived one spring day to see what they could do. Jamie Rowan from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro is raking oyster shells into mesh bags, which will be used to build a reef off a nearby coastline. This music major, studying classical guitar, likes the change of pace.
My teacher told me to rest my hands this week. That's definitely not happening.
Yeah, really.
His classmate, Elizabeth Livingston, happily labors nearby on her spring break.
I feel like you'll remember this over, you know, partying at the beach or something.
The bags they're filling and then stacking on wooden pallets are enough to build just a few hundred feet of reef to slow erosion along a coastline that stretches hundreds of miles. So you might ask whether these students are tilting at windmills. After all, the sea has been encroaching here for decades. Just ask Winky Silver. His family home on the nearby Outer Banks has been moved 6 times. And as he watches the students raking shells, he tells a story he heard from another of the old-timers around here.
He said his grandmother could walk from Roanoke Island to the Dare County mainland by rail, which meant not a railroad train, but a rail fence post that she would put from clump to clump and go and cross over. Whether that's rocking chair history or geographic history, I don't know. But I do know that that was, if you look back at the old maps, that was a marsh all the way across.
Silver knows that the pond pines that are characteristic of the Pocosin coastal forest are also losing ground to the ocean.
The stumps out there in the shallow water, you can tell, you know, if you bring a boat in there and tear your boat up, you know that once that was tree line and land.
Silver wears a homemade visor to keep the sun off his ears. He's been hired to use his barges to build the reef out of these bags of shells. And though the work has been taking place on a federal wildlife refuge, the effort is actually being led by a scientist from the Nature Conservancy, Brian Booten.
See you later, Wakey.
Booten starts out in his pickup truck toward Point Peter, where the reef is being built. On the way, he explains that the reef is just one part of a larger plan to preserve the refuge. We pull over along the side of a gravel road to see another element of the plan. The eager young biologist slips on his rubber boots and heads off into a wide expanse of marsh. Water comes up the sides of our shoes. You can't get any closer to sea level than this. About 100 yards off the road, he proudly points to a bare twig coming out of the sodden soil. It's a freshly planted cypress tree.
Here's one of our cypress. Right now, not quite leafed out.
Like the college students, this twig of a tree also seems to radiate hopefulness.
Once these leaf out this spring here, we'll have a nice lime green veneer across the top of all this marsh grass out here. So it'll be pretty evident how many cypress are in this area.
The experiment is designed to see whether the 20,000 very tolerant trees they've planted can help create a forest here, which is home to the red wolf, black bear, bobcats, and other animals whose habitat is gradually disappearing. Of course, if the sea keeps rising, these trees could simply find themselves drowned in salt water. Bootin has been thinking about that a lot. Soon after we return to the road, we come across a refuge construction crew installing a new culvert. And surprisingly, the goal of this project is to bring more water into the marsh where the trees are growing. Bootin explains that the hope is this fresh water will build up organic soil here by encouraging the plants that produce it.
Part of the soil conditions that those species need to really be happy and healthy is to have a damp soil.
So you want to bring the water onto the landscape. It seems counterintuitive if you're trying to stave off sea level rise.
Well, not if you're a wetland and you need to be wet.
So how quickly can these soils build up?
Well, they're not very fast. You're looking at a couple of millimeters a year.
Unfortunately, sea level is rising at the rate of 3 or 4 millimeters a year here, and forecast to rise faster.
We're not quite keeping up with sea level rise, and I think that's going to be something that is the case pretty much everywhere that we work with in Pamlico Sound. But the idea is to reduce the rate of loss.
Losing the battle, but losing it slowly, makes perfect sense to Mike Bryant. He runs this refuge for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
We expect change from sea level rise as a consequence of the warming and the melting of ice. And as that sea level rises, we expect to lose land.
When you look down the road, is this refuge doomed?
I don't know if it's doomed, but I certainly think it's shrinking.
Eventually, the maps of this area show this refuge will be almost entirely submerged once sea level rises 4 feet, which could be within a lifetime. But he says simply that change is inevitable on planet Earth. So what he can do is help the ecosystems adapt with some grace.
I don't think we can put a dike around a 150,000-acre refuge and pump it out. So I think we just have to adapt that landscape to the change.
That means fighting back the tide in the short run, but it also means thinking ahead.
We'd like to think about where is the next best place for wildlife on higher ground? How do we have wildlife corridors between Alligator River Refuge and those lands? And then how do we secure some of those lands that are on higher ground for wildlife in the future?
While Bryant starts the delicate task of acquiring new land, Bootin is trying to buy time. When we arrive at Point Peter, a gale is blowing up between us and the Outer Banks off to the east. These churning whitecaps are eating away parts of Point Peter at the rate of up to 30 feet a year, he says. But then he points to some white pipes sticking out of the water to our left. That's where Winky Silver has been stacking those bags of oyster shells out in the water. And Bootin says the